Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.
I don't know what just happened, but it started all over.
First, we acknowledge the one Lord of all the worlds, Allah. For Him is the praise. We pray the prayers and blessings of peace be upon Muhammad, the last of the prophets, the universal messenger, and upon his family and upon his companions, and what follows of the appropriate salutation. Believers, all people, Muslims and non-Muslims, if non-Muslims are here, we wish you peace and Allah's mercy and His blessings. On this occasion, as on all occasions, we ask for Allah's guidance and for approval, and hope that Allah will accept what we offer. Last evening was another great occasion for us, the 11th testimonial banquet. And I wanted to say last night that I was really very, very happy and very pleased inside to see so many distinguished, well-known, well-established people for their good works and hard works joining Imam Clyde Rahman and the supporters of Cleveland, the Muslims of Cleveland, from the Muslims of Cleveland, the congressman, Louis Stokes, and all the other, the honorees and all the other dignitaries from the outer community, especially from public service. It was really a beautiful evening. And to see them so relaxed with us, that's a new thing for us. Years ago, we would have distinguished persons of that acclaim among us, with us for major meetings, but they wouldn't be with us long, and they wouldn't seem relaxed with us. They would some of them would give the impression that they were with us, and the impression that they were making was strong sometimes. But I didn't see it as a situation that offered a relaxed atmosphere. The atmosphere was not relaxed. But last night, I witnessed the most relaxed atmosphere that I have witnessed between Muslims and very notable, distinguished leaders from the outer community, from the government or public world of politics, public service. We're very happy over that. We think that's an indication. That's the indication that our worth is being established and people are accepting us for our true worth. And I hope that you will feel the same thing that I felt, because it makes you feel better inside, and it helps your own condition as a Muslim to feel good inside. It doesn't help our condition as Muslims to feel bad inside. And seeing persons as the distinguished persons we saw last night joining us in our testimonial dinner and awards banquet, and being so at home and relaxed with us, is really a great encouragement to me to work harder for this cause that I have accepted and many others have accepted. Our address today is on community and personal advancement. Our desire is always to see what we offer be a factor for influencing more progress in the community life and more progress in the personal life of those who attend the gatherings. Many times we work hard for something and we are not able ourselves to clearly identify what we're working for. We simply say we're working to please Allah. We're working for the deen. I hear the common expression now, we're working for the deen. And most of the people that we are talking to, they still don't know any Arabic, you know. And we say we are working for the deen, and they don't. They just hear a word. They don't know what you're talking about half the time. But I understand the spirit and everything. It's nice to see us get attached to these new words, working for the deen. Say we're working for the religion, so the people, everybody will know what we're talking about. We're working for the religion. We're working for Allah, God, Lord of the worlds, and we're working for the religion. And we say, well, you know what we have to do? We have to give the people the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. That's true. We have to give the people the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. But suppose we were talking to a different audience, an audience of individuals who were, for many generations, having the Quran, knowledgeable in the Quran, having the Sunnah, the life history of Prophet Muhammad, that is, and being familiar with it, then what would your purpose be then in preaching them the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet? What would your purpose be then? To remind them? To remind them? Suppose they are a group of people that are very well up on what you're talking about, and they are always reminding themselves. There are many Muslims who don't need anybody to remind them of the Quran, of what's in the Quran, and what's in the life of the Prophet, peace be on him. They are very well up on that, and they accept the personal responsibility to keep their own minds remembering what Allah has revealed, in remembering the life, work of our Prophet, peace and blessing be on him. In America, we should know what we are trying to reach. We should know what we are aiming for. We should know what we are after when we stand before an audience and begin to talk to them on our concerns, the Islam, al-Islam, the religion, the life of Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be on him, or Quran, Sunnah, or any other subject within the big context, within the broad focus of our religion. We should know what we're after. What are we after? You don't speak to every audience alike. Audience differ as to their concerns and as to their needs. They would have different concerns. They would have different needs. In America, our needs are greatly different from the needs of many Muslims in many of the lands or countries of the East and Middle East, Far East, where Muslims live as nations, in North Africa and West Africa and East Africa, and even some near in South Africa, in the southern part of Africa, that is, not in South Africa, but in this country, the nation, so-called nation by that name, I'm not talking about that, and in the Far East, India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, China even, and Russia even, many Muslims, all over the world, Europe, in the islands of the Pacific, and all over the world, so many Muslims. And when we meet them, we'll find that they have different concerns and different needs, although we all have the same general concern, and that is the concern for the Muslim, for his religion, for his Muslim life. We all share that general broad concern, but we should recognize that when we are addressing the audience, we should recognize that the audience will have certain sensitivities that are characteristic of their life and experience. And we should try to recognize those sensitivities and do our best to present the religion to them, respecting what their sensitivities are, what their concerns, major concerns are, what their real needs are. Many things that we can, I would say, put small emphasis on. When, for example, a Muslim leader will make a big mistake just preaching faith and goodness to American audience. The big mistake will be that they are used to that. That's the way that the religious people of America comes to them most of the time. Faith and goodness. Believe and be good. Believe and be good. You know? So if a Muslim says that, can you say that any better than church people say it? Believe and be good. You can't say it any better than church people say it. So we have to find out what does our religion offer that is of benefit to the people that we are talking to? And how does our religion address their situation, their condition? And then do our best to present the religion with that kind of respect. And if we do so, the outcome will be positive for the people. The outcome will be positive. Whether they embrace what we believe in or not, the outcome will be positive because you are addressing their concerns. If Allah has given a healing medicine for ills, and if you will recognize the ills and the medicine in the religion for those ills, and you administer it, whether the people acknowledge La ilaha illallah, there's but one God, the Kalima, the creed of the Muslims, and Muhammad is his messenger, or not, they will be benefited. They will be benefited. So I'm the type of person that feels that we should be preachers, teachers of the religion, or preachers of the religion, with a awareness of the practical approach, not just to be moved by emotions, feelings, but to be moved by what is practical. And if you're a true believer, you don't have to worry about emotions and feelings. A true believer, if he worries about emotions and feelings, he worries about drowning in them. He worries about the danger of giving himself too much to emotions and feelings. That's what I'm saying. So a true believer, he doesn't have to make a point of coming across as an emotional pack of energy or something like that. No. If he does that, he's going to mess up. He's going to lose himself, and the people will all lose. And we should look for what is practical and to work with that kind of respect for what is the practical need in the life of the audience that we are addressing. And my opinion is that whenever I'm addressing any African-American group or any group of Americans, period, my opinion is that what we need is just good sense. The biggest thing we're lacking is just good sense. And it so happens that our religion, more so than any religion that I know, and I think I'm pretty much up on religion, our religion addressed the human being as a creature of intelligence. He's a creature of faith. He's a political creature. Our religion recognizes him in all of the major roles or major persuasion, political persuasion, academic, social, moral, all of these are recognized and addressed in our holy book and by our prophet, peace be on him. But the first recognition of the form of man is that of a creature of sense, a creature of sense, a creature of intelligence, a creature with rational ability, a creature able to reason, to make decisions, to have choices, to choose between right and wrong, to choose between what is sense and what is nonsense, what is good for him and what is bad for him, what promises him a good life and what promises him a bad life. See, the human being should also be able to sense where something is taking him, not just what it's doing right now, but where it's taking him. And our religion wants us to be aware of that. They want us to be aware of where we are, where we should be, where we should be going, and where we are likely to go if we are no caring people. Just don't care about anything, you know? So, in addressing this topic, we are not going directly at community, the need for community to advance, or the need for the person, the individual person, to advance in society or in his private life. We are going at those conditions that we think are most responsible for people succeeding and failing. So we're not going directly at the subject of advancement for society, advancement for the individual person, but rather going at the condition or the conditions that make possible or invite success and failure. And this is the best way. This is the answer. This is the help. Everything needs the climate. If it is growing, if it is life, it needs the climate. You can't have a good harvest unless the climate is right. You have the seed, you have the land, but the climate has to be right. If the climate is right, then most likely you'll get a good crop, a good harvest. Likewise for the human production. And I mean the human productivity in the broadest sense. Some of us want to produce as families. Some of us want to produce as employees in the job market. Some want to produce as leaders. You have many needs. whatever the need is, we need, whatever our particular need is, we need a climate. We need a climate for life and growth. And the revealed religions, not just our religion, the major revealed religions aim for just that. They aim for bringing about a climate that favors community life and individual